Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to Stretford Paddock. My name is Joe. This is the Paddock Podcast. I'm joined by Jay Motti. How are you, Jay?
I love that intro. What? Loads of energy, loads of enthusiasm. That's
it's
why
Monday,
we, that's why you're so popular, Joe.
Railing racks in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm also joined by Stephen Howson. How are you, Steve?
All right.
Good. Your birthday yesterday?
Seventh video of the day.
Is it?
I'm exhausted, Joe.
It's your job, innit? Love it.
Hey. Happy.
I know,
happy.
Imagine having to do my fucking
imagine having
job.
To chat to Rio Ferdinand all day.
Oh. I had Robbie Savage on before as well. He was our quiz master.
Was he?
Yeah.
Can we get Steve a bit more in shot here? Because we've cut his turtle back off.
Can we wish you as well a happy belated birthday?
And a Merry Christmas.
How many candles were there on your cake if you'd have had one?
How many candles you burning?
Yeah. Nine and niner.
Side on.
Come on, are you doing some CB radio?
38.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you not watched the Ricky Gervais podcast?
Yeah.
Right, well, you should get these references.
I said CB radio, so I do get the references. I made that very clear in my description of the references themselves.
38, old to be 38 again.
You'd love to be 38, wouldn't you?
38, golden year for me when I was 38.
Was it? Well, today, speaking of 38, that's the cumulative age of Mason Greenwood and Fred. It's not. We're going to be talking about Freddie McTominay in midfield. We're going to be talking about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We're talking about Mason
Jude
Greenwood.
Bellingham and Mason Greenwood.
We're going to be talking.
I was going to go Diallo.
We're going to be talking about Jude Bellingham as well. We're also going to be talking about Manchester United's new coach.
Very He's an American exciting. From America.
He's an American. They've an American.
PKs.
So you are overpaid, sort of oversexed, and over here.
What's that then?
That was a reference from the war.
Yeah, that's what he used to say about the Americans, didn't they?
Is
oversexed,
it?
Overpaid, and over here.
What does oversexed mean?
Because they used to like.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. Well,
can you be oversexed? Or is there just a saturation point where basically that's all you're doing, but it's still fine? Let us know in the comments. Let's start with Freddie McTominay.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, which king creature was she married to?
Michael Douglas. Douglas. Michael and it's Douglas. A bit harsh to call him a creature.
No, but he was like in his 70s when she was in her 30s.
He's a very good looking man.
He was in the 50s. Right, Freddie McTominay.
His dad was Spartacus, you know.
With
a serious bum cheek.
His dad lived forever. His dad lived to about 127.
That's good, that, isn't it?
He did.
Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, with that.
Yeah, proper bum chin.
Really? I'm Spartacus and so is my wife.
That's lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
So a lot of talk in the summer about CDM, United buying a new transfer target, CDMs, all that sort of stuff. Or just deep line holding players, whatever you want to call it. In the last sort of 2 weeks, Fred's stock has risen
Scooter!
A little bit. Fred's stock... Oh, I was listening to Scooter in the gym.
Fucking course you was.
Fred's stock has risen a little bit. I thought he was a bit shit in the first half against Arsenal. When I say a bit shit, awful. But we'll gloss over that. He's playing a slightly higher role. He looked very good the other day against Crystal Palace. I thought one of his best United performances. Talk now. Well, this is what... Okay. This is what no, there is talk now. This is what Rangnick had to say after
now,
the game.
Talk for me.
This is what Rangnick had to say after the game. He said both Scotty and Fred were almost perfect defensively. They did one or two or three mistakes, especially in the first half. There were two square passes, one from Scott, one from Fred. I don't like those kind of balls in midfield in those positions. But overall, when the other team is in possession of the ball, both Fred and Scotty, they are almost perfect for that kind of football. Now, we know already, and you've said this in the past, you've defended them, that off the ball, they're great. Do you think this on the ball issue that we know already know about is going to be enough? For them to fall out of favour with Ranić, or do you think?
I think Scott maybe, yeah, because I think what Scott offers off the ball isn't quite as high as what Fred offers off the ball in terms of his energy and his cutting about and just getting there. And I think if you simplify Fred's game and keep him away from the back four, away Fred.
Yeah,
I think you've got an half decent player in there that you can, if you had a world class number six alongside him, you're not noticing. Do you know what I mean? It's almost kind of like, well, it's not our biggest. It's not great. It's not world class. But we need to fix Maguire. Like, there'll be another issue that becomes more obvious.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute because I've got a potential one for you to go through.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those weird sort of things where we all know you can improve on it, but it's not the weak link in the team. My issue is I think he still makes a lot of mistakes. There was a couple of times he lost possession yesterday where he didn't need to. And I think if he's allowed to simplify his game, ultimately, look, I don't want to overanalyze 45 minutes of training prior to going into that game.
Do it anyway.
I mean, we've got a video coming out with Marum, I believe.
Yes.
Very good, as it always is.
Yeah.
I mentioned in that, like, they probably worked on the press, looking at it. And then we saw the evidence of that. And then we came up against Crystal Palace in a low block and didn't really know what to do. Well, he's not going to give you the entire manual to digest overnight, is it? So whatever he's got in line for coming up against the low block, I'm sure it's going to take us 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks to see how we come up against that sort of stuff. But we got there in the end.
Yeah.
The clean sheet was huge, I think.
And really, Palace had, it was a very good chance, but they had one chance all game, didn't they? Like, they really didn't make any. Zaha had a shot from like 25 yards, but that that one chance that they had at the back post. That was it.
It did feel like, for me, over a 90-minute game, that was the most controlled United have been this season.
Well, I was about to say, what's the key word that he's just been throwing out there? The new buzzword that is going to be at Old Trafford, control.
It did feel like that.
But yeah, it did.
Even the 4-1 against Newcastle, and even to a lesser degree, the one against Leeds, there was like half an hour of amazing.
It's like a fight in a kebab shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we battered him for half an hour, and then it was like another half an hour of dross or being a bit under the cosh, especially against Newcastle. Yeah. Well, that, it was
we were winning the fight, but it could be a kind of little out of nowhere. It just rings off your dome in a minute.
Just takes your eyebrow off. Yeah.
Exactly.
It happens.
But it did, you know, like, You know, it was a pretty relaxed atmosphere, and you've not felt like that for a little while. Mm.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because I've not even spoken to you about the game at all ever. What was it like in the stadium? Was it a notably different feeling? Excitement?
I put a fucking massive coat on, right, and it was not that cold. That's what it was like in the stadium.
Yeah. Too hot.
Especially when you go up in the Stretford and there's just some sweating going on.
Yeah, the heat gets locked in back there, doesn't it?
It was good, wasn't it? Because, like, everyone was relaxed and, you know, enjoying it, enjoying the football, a little bit of a buzz going around. Ollie was still getting all his names sung. Carrick was getting his name sung. And, you know, that goal as well.
Michael Shields getting his name sung.
Who?
Michael Shields.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously. And then you had the goal from Fred as well, which was like,
what was that like? Shock factor.
Limbs.
Shock.
Absolute limbs.
That was weird. Mm. Especially on his right foot. I love Ralph's little joke as well.
Yeah.
On his weaker right foot. Stronger right foot, his wink.
Do you think it's almost like a perfect sort of amount of success? Because it wasn't like 4-0. It wasn't one where you can really get carried away. You know, we did struggle to make big chances. We didn't have that many either. We had loads of half chances. Ronaldo
work,
back
Joe.
To goal.
No,
of course, but I'm saying
work.
There was this optimism. We all, you know, we accept that first 30 minutes was great. The rest of it was slightly less excellent. But just enough where you go, we can see what he was doing here.
I kind of expected that as well, because the Arsenal game was end-to-end for a while, wasn't it? It was quite intense. I know wasn't under Rangnick, but the same team, same 11, played in the Arsenal game. Tellers and Dalot haven't played a lot of football this season.
No.
So you'd expect, I mean, against Arsenal after 70 minutes, they both looked goosed.
Mm.
So I thought they did really well to keep that going. And you did expect to tail off a little bit, especially where we started. But overall, I mean, it's the sort of game where if you're moaning about that game, you're just moaning for the sake of moaning.
Mm.
I bet there's people moaning.
Oh, there will be.
Oh, we can't believe we're 1-0 against Palace or whatever. The thing is, look, Palace have taken points off a lot of teams. I think only Chelsea and Liverpool have smacked them about this year. Maybe Tottenham as well. But they've taken points off City, they've taken points off Arsenal.
I think the conceded, I think it was a last minute winner at Arsenal, like 5th minute. Right, I think they beat City at the Etihad. So, and they have looked good under Vieira, haven't they? And it was funny hearing his name getting sung for obvious reasons. That was hilarious.
Because of how good he was for Arsenal, obviously.
He was amazing. He's a legend. They're not a terrible team. And also, let's not forget, Palace have won 2 and drawn 1 the last 3 visits to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
They've got a good record against us. Mm. So, and fair then, play to Sorry, but yeah, was it 1-2 and draw one out last four, I think. So fair play. It was just a professional, as you said today, controlled performance. Yeah. And enjoyable.
Get used to that new buzzword, by the way.
Control. Well, you're going to hear it all the time, aren't we? And I went on the Football Daily podcast last night, and they were talking, and I could tell just before I was even in there that it was quite a sort of, well, yeah, but the United have made a mistake by getting this. You know, that was the atmosphere.
There was an angle.
Yeah, there was a bit of an angle to it.
An agenda.
I wouldn't go as far as the agenda. I think it was just the opinion of the people that were there.
Still safe for you.
Who were they?
But then the question I had was, first of all, wouldn't Conte have just been able to do better than this anyway? Which I just think is, you know, ridiculous. But the thought was, it's only Crystal Palace, and were United good or were Palace bad? And I hate that. Like, well, every single time any team wins, you can just say the other team was shit. Like, I know they weren't great, but United are a big reason why they weren't great.
Here's the tangibles. Was there a difference, a noticeable? And
yeah.
Bottom line is that the answer is yes. Me and Maram actually go through what the actual differences were versus United's play previously under Solskjaer. There were tangible differences that we anticipated seeing that we saw.
The winning the ball back in the final third, the most we've done it in a game since Fergie retired.
There's a massive box tick.
That's crazy for your first game to happen.
And what's he done, Jay? They're on a 45-minute training session, of which 15 of that's probably warming up.
Yeah, and then he was like, mainly showed him videos.
Yeah.
Like, and he's got that reaction from him. Mm. So I don't want to get carried away, but it's obviously we're going
to
win the treble.
Joe, it felt like to me, and I said this to Joe last night, it felt like we'd read what we needed to do, but we weren't slick. And for obvious reasons, in the fact we just purely haven't had the training time to get slick at it, but it felt like we knew what we were trying to do. Like the players knew, when I get the ball, I'm going to do X and Y. But we weren't slick and efficient in doing it. The muscle memory wasn't there.
We couldn't do it for the full 90. Yeah. That we didn't have that.
And do you know what as well? You got to give credit for.
Which he's got to expect.
He's got his subs right, didn't he? Because Mason sold the goal, didn't he? And I think
Alanga looked right, didn't
Alanga
he?
Looked bad. But would Alanga been in the squad? Like, that wasn't an obvious one to do, was it? To bring him on.
Oh, shout out to the lad in front of me as well, who must have been about 7 pints of wine down.
Good lad.
Kicked off everyone at half time.
Oh, maybe not.
Why?
Did I tell you this last night?
No.
Go on.
I think I told Cam actually. So kicked off everyone at half time because it was silent and there was no booing. And he was like, you'd have all been booing if we'd have just drawn under Ollie. Like, where was all his booing? Blah, 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 blah. And then his missus had to tell him, it's half time, love. Game's not over. And he was like, oh. Then he apologised. And then when he came.
You know what? At least he said sorry.
And then when Alanga pressed someone, I went, go on, Tony. And he turned around and he was like, it's not Tony Marshall. Salanga, I went, yeah, it's called Anthony. And he went, oh yeah.
I'm going to head off. I'll be getting
enough,
going.
Enough with the words now, eh?
He couldn't stand up straight.
Using the word.
He was just swaying.
Big T Save Me says, happy birthday, Steve. Hope you had a great day, lad.
It's all right.
Helped by the United's victory, I'm sure. Peter Kelly says,
I was just a bit tired from Saturday.
Yeah. Do you think Alanga...
You lot were on a run, weren't you? You lot dirty drinkers.
Yeah, it was good. Do you think Alanga put in on... at 0-0, getting put on at 0-0 could mean he starts versus Young Boys since it's a meaningless game. Maybe Ahmad could get a run out too.
I've not even seen him in training.
He got injured, didn't he, before his loan move to final?
He's back in training. I've seen him in the pictures, yeah.
Right,
there's that sort of like, not almost meme at this point, that he's always on the winning team. So when you see the winners team, Ahmad's invariably on those pictures. But I reckon, certainly one of them, I think will start. I think Alanga will start.
Yeah, why not? You don't want to to be honest with you, come on. Yeah, you could actually think about it.
Tarig Mahamadnor, smashed it, says, think Ralph too open and nice with press?
No.
Good, me neither.
Press. Like, I don't think that at all. I think you set the tone, and he set a good tone for that first press conference because, you know, Moyes set an awful tone.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like, I was there for that, he looked like rabbit in headlights. Van Gaal was a bit everywhere in his press conference, and that was sort of, so Mourinho set his tone because he kicked off with someone and pulled out a piece of paper moaning about the amount of youngsters he gave a chance to.
Is that his first press conference?
Yeah, as United manager.
Fucking hell,
I was sat next to Don McGuinness.
I remember it happening, but I didn't know that was his first one.
Yeah, that was his unveiling, and I remember feeling sorry for Dom, because as soon as Dom asked him the question, he had his piece of paper ready.
Proper back foot.
Yeah. And then
2-1, that was planned.
And what? And also...
Opposed question.
And also... No, it wasn't. Dom just asked it. He knew he was going to get asked about giving youth a chance. It's the United
like the Ronaldo, like like Rangnick probably knew he was going to get asked about Ronaldo.
Yeah, pressing. Like Moyes knew he was going to get asked about Rooney, but he didn't have an answer.
It was a storyline before the press conference, wasn't it?
And he got about 10 questions on Rooney.
Moyes' press conference might have been my favourite because that was the most unqualified. Joe, it's amazing that he's bounced back the way he has with West Ham. Because honestly, he went on an absolute mystery tour of shit, didn't he?
Sunderland.
Sociedad, people got to redeem himself here. This will be his redemption. Awful. And he got sacked.
Yeah, and then he had two bites of the cherry at West Ham. They hired him, got rid of him, and then hired him again. You're like, oh, well, this isn't going to work.
But they liked him the first time, didn't they? I think he did all right. Abhinav Verma has been a member for 9 months. Thank you very much. Steve, can you ask Rio if there was any reason not to go train on the indoor pitches? I thought Ralphie Boy would use them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mentioned that yesterday, didn't I? Or today, I don't know. I don't have many fucking videos, who knows at this point. Maybe I've already said it in this one. The fact that, yeah, you've got two indoor pitches. You've got the cliff still, which they do use. I mean, the first team rarely uses, but they do the occasional thing there very, very rarely. But you've got a full-size pitch at Carrington in the Academy building.
Yeah.
Why are we standing out here with these fucking umbrellas turned inside out? Because it was rough on Saturday. It was
awful.
Well rough.
Yeah.
Are you going to get him on your channel? On the Reels channel?
Who, Ralph?
Ralphie Boy.
I don't know. I wouldn't have thought he was not bothered.
I am bothered.
I think he's one of them. He'd be up for it.
Maybe.
Feels like he might be, doesn't he?
I know he texted Carrick at weekend, see if he'd be up for coming on. Because I was like, that just does all the views ever, doesn't it? But typically, the way Carrick bowed out, he's not really a talker, is he? So,
Not particularly. We've got a question here from Rishab. He says, are we really getting Poch after this? Ralph looks like he knows what he's doing. It's too early to say, surely.
I'm with him. Fuck it.
Give him the deal. Give him the job permanently.
I love that. There's an option that he's not ruled out. Listen, I've already recommended myself for the job before as a consultant. So, you know, might get to the end of the summer and be like, listen, lads, I think I'd be the best man for the job.
The best man for the job is a guy called Ralph Rangnick.
Right.
They're like, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, knowing our owners, they'll be like, okay, yeah, sounds good.
Where's he at?
He's a free agent, actually.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, the thing that he said about I've recommended myself before and I'll do it again. I love that. He's like, well, they asked me for my advice and I'm suggesting.
He's so chilled, isn't it? I didn't know anything about him in the press
conference. Yeah, not always, though.
But in the press conference so far, he's been so, like,
It's
easy when
you're kicking off in the press, your head's gone on it.
But it happens. Do you know what I mean? And also, he's not just being a bit prickly or anything like that. He's been just pretty relaxed, cracking jokes.
Jose like kicking off in his first Roma one as well? Like when he's like pulling that sheet off the window and all that.
Jose's going to Hartlepool next, honestly.
Jose have breakdowns, doesn't he? Has full on, like,
but he used
not
to
just
wait
kicking
for
off.
A few no, years first.
Now, yeah. He usually wins a league title first before he does it.
I know.
Now he's just steaming in there, punching dinner ladies, allegedly.
Yeah. It's rough. It's very rough. We've got another super chat.
You're saying who's just alleged that? Well, I just alleged.
Ross Murphy says, will we see Van der Beek, Lingard, Phil Jones, etc. against Young Boys on Wednesday? Also, off topic, Joe, how is your face after being hit by a pen on the run down? Yeah, it's fine.
By a pen?
I got hit. Someone threw a pen at my head. Oh, it's upsetting.
Hell of a
I think. Do we just think full rotation on Wednesday?
I don't think completely full because he's still going to want the opportunity for a live training scenario, isn't he? I think. And you obviously don't want to get tatered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if his average result after two games is -5 goals, it's not been good, has it?
Also, Ronaldo will want to play and score goals in the Champions League more.
I think the likes of Lingard. I think Lingard, Donny, Matic, you could see them featuring. I think you'd probably really like Lingard.
It's fine as well, isn't it? You know, when you say like our second string squad is actually very good.
Yeah, of course it is.
Do you know what I mean? It's
like when I was doing my 11 for it, I was like, I could see Mata playing because of Lingard playing, because of Van der Beek playing. Then I went Matic, Van der Beek, Mata. Nah, ain't gonna be three of them. Might be two of them. So put Bruno back in.
Yeah, it's like you can have a really good team. Actually,
Joel, the way through a Langer in, like, I'm just gonna start the bandwagon for Mengi. Look what your options are at centre half: Maguire,
no,
Varane, but injured.
Do you risk him?
Lindelof
for did all right the other day.
Made of plastic, right? As much as we love him, he's like contractually obligated to only play a maximum of 2 games a month, I think.
Yep.
Phil Jones. And that's it. That's our options. So do you know what? Sink or swim time. Let's see what Mengi can do, especially alongside of Varane. Can you imagine?
Decent, that.
Come on, son.
Yeah, man. Why not?
And also, you're not getting him behind that back line.
I think that Maguire and Lindelof could, not trying to put Mengi out of the team, obviously, but I think Maguire and Lindelof could more than happily look excellent in this system. Like, they're both good on the ball, close to the opposition goal. Did anyone watch Match of the Day last night?
Yes.
Did you see that shot that they showed of how high our defence was at that?
Yeah.
There was a point where we were pressing, and honestly, our back line was 35 yards out from their goal. Like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, we'd gone beyond the entirety of the centre circle.
Yeah, well beyond it.
Nearly got arrested. Had my dick out on Stratford End.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, it's not that big, so no one saw it.
Yeah, that's good. Especially with the cold winds.
No, it was warming. Yeah. It was warming.
Was it?
Yeah. Big coat open.
Not nice. Yeah, I mean, Lindelof did really well.
He did. We're going to talk a bit about Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw in a minute. But before we do that,
it's a sports psychologist, a new fellow we've just added.
Well, we're going to come to that in just a moment.
Oh, shut up then.
Well, I think he's not. I don't think he's a sports psychologist.
Is this Sasha?
He's been head coaches and stuff.
Sasha Lenz.
Oh, that might be a separate person.
Oh, mate. Mm. We're getting all new stuff.
We've got all sorts of new stuff coming along. But before that, it is Christmas Day. And that's because Manscaped have brought the holidays early this year.
Nice.
Joe, can I just stop you there?
No.
Is this Reed?
Yeah.
A potentially cancelable one.
No, this one's
I've
fine.
Had a little scan over it, and I can't see any references that could get us all cancelled.
All right, crack on.
Which is
were.
A treat.
Santa's beard isn't so appealing when it's coming out of your trousers, is it, Jay?
No, it isn't.
Especially when, you know.
Hang on.
Go on.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, we're fine. We're fine. And that's why Manscaped, the leaders in the below-the-waist grooming, have you covered this holiday season. Now available in your country. Join the 4 million men who trust Manscaped worldwide to keep their trees trimmed and their ornaments polished. Go to manscaped.com
ornaments
and use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. Now, we know Manscaped on this channel.
Yeah, we do.
We've spoken about Manscaped a lot.
Yeah.
Talk us a little bit about what you like about Manscaped,
Jay. I like that you get that lawnmower 4.0 technology. Oh. Yeah, that's what I love. None of this 3.0 or 2.0 nonsense. You get the 4.0 technology performance package.
Yeah.
You also get the weed whacker. When you need a bit of that, don't you?
That's for
the
your nose.
Cologne,
for your
the nose. Cologne as well, and the boxer briefs.
Yeah.
You get that whole package. I mean, if you get that in your stocking at Christmas, you're absolutely buzzing.
You are buzzing. Well, literally.
Yeah.
Because of the 9,000 RPM mower, that'll buzz all the way through your jennies. And Steve, talk to us about a time when you've used Manscaped with quite desired effects.
I Manscaped my upper arms. The other week.
What's that about?
True story, I'll show.
Okay. What are you doing that for? I'm not sure if we can legally say that's no, what it's used for.
No, I don't think. We usually...
But let's have a look anyway.
I'm not under my buttons. Oh, fucked it here,
Steve's fucked up.
Right, never mind.
But Manscaped can do pretty much everything.
It's got the skin-safe trademark technology. Yeah.
Which, I mean...
Reduces the potential for cuts.
Yeah.
Because let's face facts, you don't
the upper arm. Because I've got some weird pattern growth going on my arms at the moment, and I don't like it. So Manscaped that shit off. Now I've just got like a hairy man forearms for no reason.
That's great. They also do... You know, moisturizer for the testicles. They do a crop reviver, which is a nice little mist. Maybe you ain't got time for a shower, but you want to get a little toot toot in there. That little deodorant design.
What's your sort of go to maneuver with this? Because I can imagine that you'll spritz in the air a little bit and then like yog through it.
I do spritz in the air and then do a naked roly poly through it. So I'm catching bollocks on the upturn, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
And sometimes a little bit will go on the arse as well. But make sure you check out Manscaped. The link is in the description. Use the code DEVILS20 for 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you.
Yes.
They will thank you, actually. And do you know what else they'll say? They'll say, who's going to play for Man United at right back? Is it Dalot or is it Wan-Bissaka? Let's discuss that. Because I think...
I don't like how on topic this is.
I personally... We just talked about all sorts of stuff.
We've always got the brick.
We talked about someone's knob in the Stretford End. I think...
Who put 20p in the dickhead?
Where's that coming from?
I personally think Luke Shaw will come back and take Teller's place. Because I think he offers enough going forward... And he's more of a sort of safe bet than Alex Telles.
The thing is, maybe though, when he's played under managers with a serious amount of instruction.
That's true. That's Luke Shaw's weakness. But I think on the other side...
There's also like it when a challenge is thrown
Luke
down.
Shaw, yeah. Luke Shaw's not put in back-to-back performances this season like Alex Telles has.
That's true.
Luke Shaw's not had two good games this season back-to-back.
Also...
In fact, he's probably not even had two good games this season.
I listened to a guy lose his mind on TalkSport and...
Surely. Well, for starters, why are you listening to that?
Because it was like 3 minutes of... It was entertaining, Jay.
Ah, okay.
Because it was half had a bit of a point and half.
Yeah.
Is your calculator broken? Yeah. Like just nonsense. But one of the lines that he said was Luke Shaw had a fantastic 6 months, but it's been what, 6 months in 8 years? And you go, fucking hell.
Do you remember when people clipped up and me and you and Dave were talking about Luke Shaw doing the tier list? and we said the jury was out. Mm. And people rammed it down our throat. It clips up like about 4 months ago. When I look at this, and now we're having the same conversation.
And also, like, Ralph Rangnick basically said the same thing two years ago. He said Luke Shaw's not good enough. Yeah. But that's because that's where the conversation was around Luke Shaw at the time.
We bought Tellez for a reason. Yeah. No, we didn't bring Tellez. Ollie,
we didn't pitch to Tellez, did we, and say, listen, Luke Shaw is amazing.
He's about to become world-class out of nowhere.
Do you fancy just warming a bench?
But if he can recapture his form from last season, I think he goes back in there.
I understand that one, because for a stage last season, he was very, very good indeed. But you look at Tellez, been playing well, set pieces, and he hit the bar the other night, didn't he? And he's looked dangerous.
Oh, early doors and all.
I know, yeah. So I just feel that, you know, if you're a fullback and you're doing everything the manager's asking for you, why change that for someone who's having a stinker of a season?
Not
I like Luke Shaw, but
you've got. I don't know if we talked about this last night. There's a potential politics thing at play, I reckon, with Rangnick and Luke Shaw, because Rangnick's probably going to want to soften his stance on him that he said before he became United boss.
Oh, right, okay.
Because you can imagine that makes it a double awkward conversation, unless he's just able to go in there and kind of laugh it off, which I think he'd struggle to do, to be honest. Mm. You basically called him shit on whatever platform it was.
Well, just to give that quote out for anyone who hasn't heard it, he said, they could do the left back. I know they have Luke Shaw, but I'm not so sure if he's on the same kind of level you need for a club like Manchester United. That was in September 2020.
See, that's when you drill down into that, that's PR speak for your shit. Yeah.
But to be fair, in September 2020, which is not that far away from when we brought Tellez.
Yeah.
Everyone was, a lot of people having that conversation.
Yeah.
But now he's the manager though. That's a different sort of dynamic, isn't it?
So you think now there's a pressure on him to prove that he is giving Luke Shaw a chance?
I think he will have to visibly give Luke Shaw a chance, or people will just say he never liked him and he said that before he came in and now he's not giving him a chance.
But that's what did for Ollie. Ollie gave Luke Shaw chance after chance and we would cost goal after goal this season. And he stuck with Maguire as well, and it was like, those players let him down.
He is turning his performances around a little bit now, to be fair.
But, he should be based on performances and Tellez. And I'm not the biggest fan of Tellez, but he's playing well. Mm. And I don't think you should take it. For me,
it'd also be unfair on him to be dropped.
I just feel like if you're doing exactly what this manager's asking you to do, you're getting forward, defensively you're solid, you're creating things as well from set pieces, and you're getting praised, why drop it for someone who, for the 10 games he's played this season, has been shocking for 7 of them at least?
Yeah. Let's move on the other side. Let's move to the other side.
Fair.
Wan-Bissaka, who even at his best isn't particularly good at build-up play.
He's getting miles better.
Well, specifically his crossing, I think, like literally ball from here into the box. I don't think he's actually as bad as people make it.
No, I agree with you on that, his build-up play,
his passing, his positioning defensively and offensively isn't as good as Dallow's, I don't think. Do you think there's a case there where you could say, I mean, basically the same thing, where you go, well, Dallow's playing really well. That pass he played out to Rashford the other night was excellent. And I don't think Wan-Bissaka's capable of that, or hasn't proved himself to be. Do you think he's got a chance as well of keeping that position?
Yeah, I don't think Wan-Bissaka's been as bad as Luke Shaw this season, but he's not been great. He's not far behind him. Yeah. And I think every argument I've just made for Tellez, it'd be unfair to not make the same one for Dallow, because that's just, wouldn't make sense.
Two really good games. Yeah. A bit of a surprising one midweek against Arsenal. Out of nowhere. We all was like, hey, where did he come from? Previously to that, the performances he put in the United, they weren't good enough.
Villarreal was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah, they just simply weren't good enough. And prior to that, the performances he had in earlier, I mean, Jesus, some of the absolute horror shows, like Anfield, like some of the performances from him were just terrible. Yeah, he's gone away. He's gone on loan. He had a successful loan at AC Milan. Maybe he learned a little bit more one-to-one defending out there, very technical defensive league. Maybe he learned some stuff, because you can't really have a harder game than Wilf Zaha as a 1v1.
No.
Did you remember him going past him?
I think one time maybe, but it certainly wasn't a horror show by any means.
And and he was... did I put them clips in for you?
I'm not sure.
So there's a couple of clips of some of the pressing that was going out. And I spoke about this with Maren. When you press, say you have a forward three, your forward three is going to press probably 3 out of the back 4. Which means that you tend to leave the opposition far side fullback. So a bit of a gamble, hoping that they're not going to try and switch play to him, because your press has been effective enough on the 3 that are in possession. Now, if it looks like they're going to the left, you cover the left 3.
Yeah, you sort of force the right them to one. That wing.
Yeah, and you come at it from the right side. So you kind of cut off the lane to him and then also press him like that. So you kind of leave one free. I was noticing we were doing that, and I didn't necessarily notice Tellez doing it. Maybe it was the angle I was looking at. But Dalot was pushing up on the opposition fullback as well, so he was doing some rate distance.
Really cutting that out.
Yeah, and he was getting right on that. And when you think, when you've got Zaha ahead of you, it's risky, but he seemed to cope with it. So he wasn't even just like protected. He was covering ground and he was in the right position. So I've written him off.
Yeah.
But I think he could definitely be one with a clean slate if he's doing what he's asked, who could come in and shock us all.
And also, when you're pressing that high, their foremost way to get out of that, especially if you're pressing the fullback as well, is a long ball, which is inherently a lower success rate than a short ball. So at that point, they're chipping balls up to Ayew, and it's Maguire versus Ayew one-on-one with the ball coming in the air. First of all, the pass has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And if it isn't, Maguire is better than the in the air than 99% of strikers.
Definitely.
So you can have that with
Salah. Because it's the size of a moon.
It is the size of a moon. But I think the thing is, I was watching a video about, you know, gegenpress and all that, as everyone has been over the last few weeks. But typically, it's not necessarily about tackling to win the ball back. It's about intercepting and getting to balls at the same time as the opposition player.
Well, that was a difference as well, wasn't you?
And the problem with Wan-Bissaka is he's great at tackling, but when the ball is spilled and bouncing quickly and it's a misplaced pass or an overhit pass, his first touch and ability to play the ball quickly in tight areas is so much lower than Dalot's that you don't get a chance to see the best side of Wan-Bissaka, who I thought... For the way we played under Solskjaer, which is less of the ball and often you've got a man running at you because defensively the structure isn't necessarily as elite as it should be. But under this type of manager, how often will we see Aaron Wan-Bissaka's 1v1 ability if things are going to plan? Also, maybe not that often.
On that front as well, you know, you're talking about sort of not flying into tackles, keeping the ball. Dalot did it against Zaha. Teles did it as well, where he ran back and he just took the ball. It was fantastic. Sort of Wan-Bissaka's MO is he'll stand off you and just fly in. And he'll win it.
Yeah.
He's very good at winning
the now. The timing's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I'm not faulting him on that, but he's not just keeping hold of that ball. He's putting you and the ball in the stands or whatever, or giving you that little bit of uncertainty. I'm not knocking the kid for tackling people, but you understand what I mean. It's different.
Sounds like you are.
Scripts
different.
GSO says, could Wan-Bissaka play CDM or centre-half?
Oh, my God.
Not a fan of that, are you, Steve?
Play right-side centre-half in a three.
Yeah, like Luke Shaw did on the left last season.
I wouldn't see him as a CDM.
Yeah.
Jesus, titty fucking Christ.
Let's move on to one of United's new coaches coming in to replace Michael Carrick. His name is Chris Armas.
Very funny. Yeah, very good.
What?
Chris Armas.
So there's a pop-up on my phone, says The Athletic.
Merry
news.
Christmas.
Sasha Lenz to become Rangnick's second staff appointment, and he's a sports psychologist.
Sasha Lenz. So we'll get on to him in a minute.
Chris Armas.
Yeah, you think that's some sort of joke?
Yeah.
He's coming in at Christmas time.
Chris Armas at Christmas time. Yeah, very funny.
Well, he is. Apparently, in the past, he's only had one full season as a head coach in the MLS. He coached New York Red Bull and had one of the fastest ball recoveries in the league with the highest press and played the most direct attacking style.
Got loads of PKs as well.
Apparently, Armas may have boosted their attacking output by as much as 0.24 XG per game.
He improved all their
0.24 XG per game.
I thought this was a joke. It's actually true. And I've got him touching me about
I'm trying to make American soccer jokes.
Come on.
And you're fucking ignoring me, Joe. Pay me attention.
I just listened to it.
I'm still getting over the fact we've appointed someone called Christmas in the end of December. Christmas is coming.
I also said PKs.
So Old Trafford. Ralph's bringing Christmas here.
So Christmas, as we like to call him.
He's going to win us PKs.
He's an American professional
PKs
soccer coach.
On his road games especially.
Oh yes, road games.
Yeah. Great upper body block over the goal bag.
He's an American soccer coach and former player. And these jokes haven't been done to death in the past, by the way.
Allow it, you dickhead.
But he's 49 years old, which is a lovely age. But I want to give you a team that he played for as a player. And tell me whether you think this sounds like a swinging group.
What?
He played.
I'm trying to think of jokes, Joe.
He played for the Long Island Rough Riders. That's too sexy for a football team, isn't it?
Long Island Rough Riders.
Fuck me. America, step up your fucking team.
Long Island Rough Riders.
Where's your North Ends?
And they're in the fourth tier of the American...
And your towns.
Yeah.
They're in the fourth tier of the American soccer pyramid.
Oh, my God.
Theirs isn't a pyramid.
It is?
Yeah. It's like a pair of bricks on top of each other.
That's true. He also played for LA Galaxy and Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire.
Genuine question. Where would Paddock be in the American soccer pyramid?
Level 3.
And I want your answer to be as insane as I hope it is. Go on.
Level 3.
Mm. MLS, mate. That's what you
mean. No, US Soccer League Division 2.
Right. That's really? Bad.
Okay. So he's a new guy. We've also got who coming in?
Sasha Lenz, L-E-N-S-E.
Who are these people?
Well, sports psychologist. Ralph Ragnick's second appointment. He left one of his jobs. I can't remember which one it was, but he left one of his jobs. He was like, I'd like this sports psychologist. And he was like, why don't you just concentrate on the football? He's like, or I could just fuck off. How about that? So
I like that.
Yeah. Exciting.
Sports psychologist.
So Merry Christmas, first of all.
Nice.
And, you know, Sasha. Life Through a Lens.
Yes.
Robbie Williams'
fucking
album.
Fucking shocking.
Apparently DMX was in the Rough Riders, so he might be
I was thinking that. That's what I was thinking of DMX.
Yeah, but was it the Long Island Rough Riders? That's really impressive stuff.
Have you heard the most famous reindeer of all? Have you heard DMX's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Yeah, yeah. Should we just play it and go home?
Yeah. Like,
it's fucking
amazing,
isn't it?
DMX's
amazing.
What are you doing
here?
Shopping?
Just getting some shopping. I went on the wrong tab.
So is it butt plugs again?
No, not this time. I tell you what we should be looking at, though. The 12 Days of Paddock is back, Stephen.
Yeah,
it is our Christmas
giveaway. Look at that, Old Trafford, right there.
We're giving away! We're giving away a Sony PlayStation 5 to one of our members.
And
as
Old
a
Trafford.
Thank you for supporting the channel. If you want a chance to be entered in all of the giveaways,
and Jay's Peter Schmeichel book.
Yeah, you can have that. Yeah. I'll volley it through your window for you.
One of them is Jay's Peter Schmeichel book. Another one is the Sony PlayStation 5.
It's unopened. It's in the box it came to.
We've also managed to secure a Manscaped Perfect package to give away as well. So someone will be getting that.
You're going to have clean balls.
With a retail value of cash. There's all sorts to be given away from the 26th of December to the 6th of January. We'll be giving away a prize every single day. You can see some of the prizes there. Let us. I mean, all you have to do to be entered is join the channel. We should be able to get the join button in the chat. Click the join button.
All I can do now is think of the DMX Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer song.
It's excellent. Quality. But yeah, click the join button and you'll automatically be entered for all of those prizes, all of the giveaways. You also get extra content, extra videos, membership as well on Facebook, and a discount in the merch store. So there's loads of stuff for members. Join, become a member, help out the channel, and have a chance to win all these great prizes. Well, let's talk about Jude Bellingham, shall we?
My dad's not having it that he looks like Ralph Ragnick, by the way.
He does.
I know he does.
I don't know enough about...
He's not having
Listen,
it.
Who knows better, us or your dad, and what your dad looks like?
No, I'm saying.
Do you know what I mean? Seriously.
Let's talk a little bit about Jude Bellingham. Yeah. It's not a United story, but United have been linked with him, and it's an interesting story to go through. Jude Bellingham is investigated by German police.
To see they're spending the time wisely than the police
He made comments about referee Felix Zweier's past match fixing after Borussia Dortmund star referenced official 6-month ban from football in his angry post-game TV interview.
We're not allowed to tell the truth now.
Yeah. Well, here's what he said.
Facts.
Here's what he said. He said, you give a referee that is match fixed before the biggest game in Germany, what do you expect? And now, the coppers are after him.
The Rozzers.
What do you think?
Kicking in his door. Well, I think he's every right to be annoyed.
Yeah.
I watched that. It was just before we started the rundown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I watched that game. It was class. They had a point because it was shite refereeing.
Well, Erling Haaland mentioned it as well, didn't he? He said that, you know, he said something about the referee, then he said, I need to calm down a bit. So it wasn't like he was just Bellingham.
Do you know what? Bellingham's playing so well for them as well. Like, he's not just 18-year-old lad who's getting minutes and being in the team and isn't he a good boy. He's literally like one of their better players. Yeah, he's literally playing very well.
So here's what this bloke's done in the past. So he's referencing Zweier's 6-month ban from football.
How is he still a referee after? If you get done for match fixing, surely that's signed eye.
Well, yeah, I think so. But it says here, so 2005, he was caught up in a match fixing scandal. He was caught up in it. At the time, Zweier was found guilty of accepting a €300, not enough, bribe to help Bundesliga referee Robert Heuser, the main architect of the match fixing scandal.
That's a great word for King Crook.
So apparently, he was just a sort of, he was a pawn in the situation.
Help the match fixing.
If you've been done for match fixing, you should not be allowed to referee. That's mental.
Do you think?
Yeah, that's like...
Ask Jay why he's not allowed to look after dogs.
Yeah, but that was 15 years ago.
Once, that's all I did it once, and that was enough, according to the...
But that should be the case.
If you get done for robbing a shop, you go to prison or you get a fine or whatever.
You can still get banned from that shop forever.
Yeah, but you can still go in shops. You can still go in other shops.
Okay. Well, you don't get to be a referee. You could be anything. Referee fucking netball or something.
Because there's a hierarchy and a sort of you're in a position of power.
Yeah.
That gets taken away. It's not the same.
The thing is, you're tainted.
You're not saying you can't have
another. Of course you're tainted.
Every decision you make is controversial. People look at are going, he's not trustworthy.
Jesus Christ, man. It's like, if you knew a judge that had gone to jail for being a corrupt judge, and then you get him in your trial, you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're not having that. And then when he does, any dodgy decision that he has, right? Because referees make mistakes. Let's have this right. Referees, probably 99.999% of them are probably football-loving fucking nerds, right? Yeah. Let's have it right.
Yeah.
But that 0.0001% like him, crooks, they fucked the whole thing. And that's where all of the allegations of bent refs comes from and all the rest of that sort of stuff. So how the fuck do you allow someone who's been proven to be a bent ref to fucking referee games still?
He was only banned for 6 months as well.
That'll teach him.
Matthew Ashton, thank you for becoming a member.
Give us your whistle.
Thanks, Matthew.
And your fucking cards.
So do you think...
Go be a bastard milkman.
You think Bellingham should be let off?
No, I think he should have a statue for standing up to the fucking truth.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think they should retire his number.
What, again?
Yeah.
Dortmund have done it as well.
You'd actually pay 100 million for him.
I think he should come to Old Trafford, yeah, and he can say what he wants about
refs. 15 years we'd get out of him.
Yeah.
He's good. Wally the Week, Stephen?
Oh. Fucking German police.
Interesting.
Controversial.
German police. Yeah, the case will now be forwarded to the Dortmund public prosecutor's
office. I got told to calm down by German police in Hamburg.
I can't imagine any authority figure ever telling you to calm down for any reason whatsoever. This sounds ridiculous.
And he asked me for my passport. Now, I flash back to every war film I've ever seen. I'm going, papers. Right.
Okay.
Right. And I shit it and I laugh.
Let's tread carefully in this conversation.
Hey, don't you worry about me. Right, okay. Never said anything controversial on camera.
That's true.
And I was like, oh, I don't have it. Because I was like, you know, I know me right. I don't have to show ID.
Did you go, I don't have it?
Yeah, I just said, I ain't got it.
Fuck off.
And then he just gripped me and patted me down. And my passport was in my pocket.
You knew it was. You just wanted to pat it down off a policeman.
Yeah.
He was wearing leather.
Oh, it's round the front.
Oh, it's there. Keep going.
You're not
going
to get it that way.
Oh, I'm going
to get it. Get in and get right underneath, big boy.
Oh, after all, it's in my hand.
Yeah. what about you, Jay? Wally the Week?
I'll go with... I'm trying to think.
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
No, I'll go with Kit Malthouse.
First of all... Who's that?
He's an MP. He was on the telly this morning chatting rubbish.
Go on then, tell us a bit more then.
Well, you know this party in Downing Street, right? This is what they're saying. They're saying that the party that took place in Downing Street didn't break the rules, but having a party breaks the rules. Mm. So that makes no sense. If you had a party, you broke the rules. So you can't have had a party that didn't break the rules.
Why? When did parties become illegal?
In 2020, when London was in tier three, to have a party was illegal. They're nicking people. They're literally, someone's just been sent down from Ilford who had a party, and Downing Street had a party at the same time, and they're saying ours didn't breach any regulations, but it did because it was a party, and having a party breached it. Mm. So you've got all these MPs going on the telly going, well, it didn't breach any regulations, and I've had that clarification from Downing Street. It's a nonsense. They just take us for mugs all the time, man. It does me head in.
I'm going to go for former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, just because he's got a funny name.
Newt
Gingrich. That's not a name.
What'd you call your kid?
Newt.
What should we call it?
What, name him after a Newt. Slimy little sort of baby
now,
frog
was
spawn.
Is Newt his name or is his full name Newton?
Newton. Like the fig treat.
Yeah. He's a muppet anyway, Newt Gingrich. You know how I hate him. His contract for America.
I even got a reason for it.
His contract for America and he's impeached someone just for sleeping about in his Oval Office.
MPs take a piss. They're supposed to literally be like beyond reproach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't a perfect guy. So you never see me want to fucking do anything like that in any sort of position of power because I'm a dickhead, right? Oh. But I know I'm a dickhead.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't run for prime minister because people go, he's a fucking dickhead. Yeah. Why are you voting for him? But they're voting dickheads in.
Yeah.
And they're acting like dickheads while they're in. I mean, there's a book been written by Jacob Rees-Mogg's dad, which is how to make money as society fucking collapses. They want, it was done pre-Brexit, and it basically shows how they was about to make money by creating disorder. And how some of the policies that they were going to put into place will force people to vote along nationalist lines and
it's a tailor's go all against time, though, isn't it? Scare people and get them to do what you want,
and get them to be like, you know, pure, you know, the way it went with like people thinking like all these fucking foreigners at the border are causing problems and things like that. Yeah. That's what they created in that in the country was like a hatred for people coming over.
Yeah,
and the result was fucking NHS is miles shorter. Of fucking qualified doctors and nurses and well, like sad. All of the different
tons of industries,
literally. Yeah. And Manchester, as a seriously multicultural place, has lost a right load of fucking culture for it.
Yeah.
You know, football,
like
football players
like
has become harder.
Yeah.
Like fucking Ralph Rangnick,
He was saying about getting players in, it's hard now with Brexit and stuff. Yeah, ridiculous.
It was the biggest self-own in history.
Dan Chester says, happy birthday, Steve. Made a bet with my scouse-loving boss that Ronaldo would get 25 in the Prem alone. Fancy my chances. Well, he's got 6.
It was a while off that, isn't it? Yeah, I think 20 is a good marker, but 25, we're going to have a hell of a...
You need a Southampton 9-0.
Yeah, we do.
Where he gets absolute five. Fucking
yeah.
Rodding.
Yeah, you need a Berbatov against Blackburn style just hammering, don't you? Where they give up after 20 minutes.
Right, thank you very much for joining us. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Again, the link is in the description for Manscaped. Check them out to get 20% off and free shipping using the code DEVILS20. Your balls will thank you. Again, if you want to join the membership, make sure you click the join button. You will be entered for all of our 12 days of Christmas giveaways. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Joe. You did a very good job there as well.
And thank you to Ralph Reinley for giving us a bit of optimism in our lives for the first time in a while. We'll see you in a bit. Sports Social Podcast Network.